here to acknowledge our Lord and Savior. We could have been anywhere else.
Here in God's house today. And I thank God that you and I are here today. For Lord, we thank Him for all that He has done and all that He's going to continue to do. If you would stand with me across the building, we're going to read our scripture that we read every Sunday morning, Galatians 2 and 20, and let's read that from our hearts today. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave Himself for me. Amen. You may be seated across the building. It is good that we can come together. We didn't get to come together last Sunday. We had a tornado watch that came through Richland County, Lexington County. I mean, it was coming through 29 states last week. And so with people that are traveling to our church, I did not want them to be on the road with debris flying everywhere and the winds high. And so we had to cancel service last Sunday, but it is good that we can be here today and good to be here while it's sunshining outside and spring has sprung and we are now here. We're on the eve of getting close to Easter, and Easter is coming in later this year than last year. And so before you know it, it will be this time again. But I want to thank each and every one for coming today. I want to thank those for watching today live. My prayer is there something that I can say to you and your family to encourage you along the way as we get into God's Word today. It's a great thing where that we can unite together in the bond of love and that we can encourage and pray for one another and lift one another up in prayer. You know, I've always said that I don't know what I would do without the Lord. What would I do? I don't know what you would do without the Lord, but the Lord is what will sustain us. The Lord will be the one that will take care of you and I. And I thank God today that we are blessed to be in the house of the Lord. Today, if you have your Bibles there, and I know it's on the pew, it's going to be projected on the screen, I'd like for you to go with me to the New Testament, or the book of Romans, the first chapter, beginning with the 14th verse. Romans, the first chapter, beginning with the 14th verse. The title of my message today, it's dynamite. It's dynamite. And so we're going to look here a little bit, as time will permit, Romans 1 and 14. I want to give you a little bit of a second or two to get there into the Word of God. I want you to follow along with me through this as we are encouraged in the Word of God. Romans 1 and 24. Let's look here a little bit. The Bible says, I am a debtor both to Greeks and to barbarians, both wise, to the wise and to the unwise. And so as much as it is in me, I am ready to preach the gospel to you who are in Rome also. Verse 16, for I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God to salvation for everyone who believes. For the Jew first and also for the Greek. Can I hear an amen to God's word? Paul was in debt, as we will look at this passage of Scripture. We see that Paul begins to speak and he begins to share that he is ready to preach the gospel. In other words, Paul had a transformation. He had a change. He had a change of heart, a change of mind. Remember, Paul was a killer, a persecutor of the church. His name was Saul, but then his name became Paul. And God, of course, the story goes, it struck him on the road to Damascus and began to get him in the right direction. So can you imagine how that God began to save a man that was a killer to the church and that he killed people and turned him around
for the gospel, to share the good news after he hated and killed. He loved the Lord Jesus Christ. He had a change of heart, change of mind. Folks, I want you to know today that is the power of the Lord Jesus Christ. If God can change a killer into a person that can share the gospel and love on Jesus and share Jesus, there's nothing that God cannot do, because he can move and do mighty and great things. And I want you to know today, God is willing to work with anyone that will work with him. And I want you to know today, Paul was a man that began to fully surrender himself to the Lord Jesus Christ and said, Lord, whatever you want me to do, Lord, forgive me for being a killer, but now I'm going to be a lover. I'm going to love on you, and I'm going to love on people, and I'm going to share. And Paul clearly lets us know right here, he says, I am ready. The question today is, are you ready to share the good news? Are you ready to share the gospel? Are you ready to share the love of God of somebody that needs to know the Lord Jesus Christ as their personal Savior? Are you going to be an ambassador? Are you going to be a disciple? Are you going to be a servant? Are you going to share what God has shared with you if you've accepted Jesus Christ into your heart and life? Are you ready to share the gospel? Because the Apostle Paul says in this passage, he says, I am ready to preach the gospel to you who are in Rome, which Paul was sent to Rome as he was there, and he began to share the good news. For he said, I am not ashamed of the gospel. He found the real deal. I want you to know today, have you found the real deal? Have you found the Lord Jesus Christ? If you haven't found the Lord Jesus Christ and you haven't made the profession of faith, now is that time to accept Jesus while the Holy Spirit is in this atmosphere, and while that he is in this world, accept Jesus as your personal Savior. For he says it is the power of God. It's not the power within you. It's not the power within me. But it's about the power of the Lord Jesus Christ that is in us, that has established us and has caused us to be what God would want us to be. And he says it is the power unto God for salvation for everyone, not just an elect, not just a certain amount of people, for everyone who believes. Paul believed. For the Jew first and also for the Greek. What is he saying? He is saying it is for all. It's red, yellow, black, purple, pink, whatever the color is. God has here to save us all. Now I want us to look at this. He considered himself in debt to everyone. The Greeks and the barbarians, the wise and the unwise. He was to be exposed, and he was to be moved out for Christ. In other words, he was at the mercy of everyone that was around him, and yet Jesus had his hand upon him as he began to share the good news with everyone. Have you had that opportunity? Has there been an opportunity where you could share the love of God with somebody, encourage somebody, lift somebody up in prayer, maybe talk to them, give them some encouraging word? Listen, we have enough, as we see in this world, of discouragement, of gloom, doom, agony, defeat. We see all of that going on around us. But praise be to the Lamb of God. There is living hope. There is hope in the Lord Jesus Christ. It doesn't matter what's going on today. It doesn't matter what's going on tomorrow. God will establish you. God will keep his hand upon you. And he will take care of you and your family every step of the way. He was in debt because he had received the gospel. He was in debt because he had received the good news. There are some today that may have heard about the news but don't want the news.
And I want to encourage you today that if people have heard the news and they don't want to hear the news, you leave them where they're at, you pray for them, and you move on. Because all God is asking you and I is to share the gospel, not force the gospel, not beat it down the gospel, not to hit them up the head with the gospel, but to love them and to share the good news with them and to leave it with them, because they have a choice whether they want to receive it or whether they want to reject it. Paul preached, some received, some rejected. But it did not stop Paul. It did not stop the mission. It did not stop him because he says, I'm in debt to you, Lord Jesus. You died for me, Lord Jesus. Jesus Christ died for you and I over 2,000 years ago. Therefore, if He gave His one and only Son to be nailed to the tree, there's no excuse, there's no reason why you and I can't be servants. There's no reason why we can't be disciples, because God has clearly established, hallelujah, His Son, that His Son may be set free, that you and I would be set free, that we can do what God has ask us to do through His Son, Jesus Christ. He was, Paul, discharging his debt by preaching the gospel. Christ was the driving force in Paul's life. Paul at one time was his own man. He did what he wanted to do, be what he wanted to be, say what he wanted to say, go where he wanted to go. But guess what? God got a hold of his life. And he said, Paul, all that negativity that you've got, all that energy that you have trying to persecute the church, all the things that you're trying to do and to destroy, now I want you to take all that energy and I want you to share the good news. I want you to share with others. And when Paul found out and had that transformation and he began to see exactly what God was trying to do in his life through the Lord Jesus Christ, everything came to the wayside. Everything came to a screeching halt, because he said, all I know is Jesus Christ and Him crucified. There's nothing in me that is good. He says, what an old wretched man that I am, but Jesus Christ has resurrected me. He's resurrected my life and has caused me to get on a path that I can serve and that I can do what the Lord Jesus Christ has called me to do. Give God praise in the house today. Hallelujah. We must go with urgency. We must go with being commanded by the Lord to do. Don't look to the left. Don't look to the right. Don't look at the situations that are around you. Look to the cross. Look to the Lord Jesus Christ. When you feel like throwing your hands in, you feel like throwing the towel in, say, God, you're there on the sideline. You're there in the middle, in the eye of my storm. You're there, Lord, and I feel and know your presence. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Paul says in Romans 1 and 15, so as much as in me, so as much as in me, I am ready. I am ready. Are you ready to step out in faith? Are you ready to step out? Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. I've said it and will say it again. It is never for us to walk in this life with our natural eyes. It's for us to walk by the Spirit, in the Spirit, and through the Spirit. In other words, we are to trust the Lord Jesus Christ. We are to talk to the Lord Jesus. We're to ask about things that we deal with in life. We're to bring it to the Lord Jesus Christ. Don't make a hasty move. Don't just make a decision. Just don't say, well, that's what I'm going to do. Talk to the Lord about it. Bring it before the Lord Jesus Christ. Why? Because He wants to be in the middle of everything that you're doing. You may say, well, Pastor, it's just a small thing. No, He wants to be in the small things as well as in the big things. Why? Because He wants you to be connected with Him. Listen, so as much as in me, the Apostle Paul says, is not holding back anything.
all his energy invested in reaching people for Christ. It was no longer about him anymore. It was no longer about what he was going to do. But now it was what Jesus wanted to do in his life. Jesus wants to do something in your life. He doesn't want you just to waste away. He just doesn't want you to merely exist in the world and be buried 6 foot under. He has a plan. He has a purpose. He has a destiny for you to achieve, for you to accomplish until your assignment is ended. I am reminded of my sister, how that she worked for the Lord, sang for the Lord, taught for the Lord, spoke for the Lord for many, many years. And she continued on for the Lord until her assignment was ended. And she went home to be with the Lord. Folks, I want you to know today your assignment has not ended. Your assignment is just at beginnings. You say, well, Pastor, I'm 70 or 80 years old. How are you saying I'm at the beginning? Hey, listen, we clearly know how that God works. He works in a mighty way. It doesn't matter how old you are. As long as there's oxygen going in your body, as long as your heart is still beating, there's still a plan. There's still a purpose. There is still a destiny. There is a reason why you're still existing and living right now. Because he has something that he wants you to do. He's not through with you yet. He's not finished with you yet. Listen, Paul was not ashamed of the gospel. That's my first point today. Paul was not ashamed of the gospel. If there's ever a time that we need to step up as Christian believers, if there's ever a time that we need to step up and stand for what is right, not what is wrong, but what is right, to stand, now is that time, folks, that we need to stand for the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Because as time goes on, people are going to tend to draw away from Christianity. They're going to draw away into their own ways. As the Bible says, their own presumptuous ways. They're going to go into their own ways, do their own thing. That's why it's so important that we stay connected together and that you stay connected in the Word of God. Because that's going to be your driving force in your walk with the Lord Jesus Christ. What is the gospel? 1 Corinthians 15 and 3, the Apostle Paul writes and he says, "For I delivered to you first of all that which I also received, that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures." That's why it's so important. We go back to the Word of God. "And that he was," what? "He was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to Scripture." This is why it's so important that Paul is not talking within himself. He is not talking in all that what he knows. He is referring back to the Word of God. That's the same way that Jesus did when he was fasting for 40 days and 40 nights. He was taken into the wilderness. What did he do? The enemy, Satan, came to him to try to tempt him. And guess what? Jesus hit him with the Word of God. "I'll not live by bread alone, but I'll live by every word that proceeds out of my Father's mouth." He quoted to Satan Deuteronomy 8 and 3. See, he went back to the Scriptures. He went back to the Word of God. That's why you and I must stay close to the Word of God. The Bible is your GPS. The Bible is your roadmap. In everything in this life that you will ever live, you've got to know that the Word of God must be in the center of your heart and in your life. And that's why it's so important, because the Apostle Paul was not referring to himself, but he was referring back to the Word of God. He was referring to the Scriptures. He says that Jesus Christ died as the Scripture says. He was buried. He arose on the third day. So we have that promise to know that God is with us. That's the gospel. That's the gospel that you and I must receive
And that is the gospel that you and I must share. And that's the gospel that we are to live by day in and day out. Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures. He was buried and rose again according to the Scriptures. We should not be ashamed to share this good news with people that we come in contact with. Too many believers are ashamed of the gospel. Jesus says, if you're ashamed of me, I will be ashamed of you. You've got to be bold as a lion to be ready to give a good answer to anyone that should ask you. As the Apostle Paul told Timothy, be ready in season, out of season. Be prepared, ready to give an answer to those that are needing to know the Lord Jesus Christ. We should not be ashamed. Too many believers are ashamed. Ashamed to tell others of Christ and His love. Ashamed to seize opportunities to witness. Ashamed to seize opportunities to witness. Are you ashamed to share your faith with lost people? I'm asking that question. Think about it. Are you ashamed? Are you ashamed to share your faith with lost people? It was a great opportunity yesterday as we conducted the funeral yesterday of a family that had lost their mother. And there were those, I would know there was probably some that may not know the Lord Jesus Christ. But we gave people opportunities right there at the grave to accept Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. And folks, I want you to know it is important that we know the Lord Jesus Christ, that we have accepted Jesus Christ into our hearts and lives. Because after this life, you're in the face of the Lord Jesus Christ. After this life, that's the next person you're going to see is the Lord Jesus Christ. And so you have to get your affairs in order. You have to get your spiritual walk with the Lord right here. Because after that, it is eternal. It is eternal. There's no coming back. There's no second chance. There's no, but what about this or what about that? When you leave this life, you must be prepared to meet your Maker. Listen, my second point today is this. Paul was amazed at the power of the gospel. How can we be ashamed of Jesus when He has endured our shame on the cross? Oh, let me say that again. How can we be ashamed of Jesus when He has endured our shame on the cross? Paul was amazed. You know why he was amazed? Let me tell you why he was amazed. He was amazed because he was a murderer. He was amazed because he killed and persecuted the church. Could we accept some? Would you accept somebody that had murdered your family or your friends? Think about it. Could you accept what Paul would have done? It would be only the love of the Lord Jesus Christ. It would only be the Lord Jesus Christ. But yet God saw, Jesus saw what was going on in all of what He was doing. How can we be ashamed of Jesus when He has endured our shame on the cross? Romans 1 and 16. The Apostle Paul says, for I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God to salvation for everyone who believes, for the Jew first, and also for the Greek. It is the power of God unto salvation. There's no other power. There's no other way. I am the way. John 14 and 6. I am the way, the truth, the life. No man comes to the Father except by me. I am the way. He is the way. He is the truth. He will bring life. He's the only one that will bring life unto you and I today. Listen, what the gospel accomplishes, it saves souls from hell. It saves souls from hell. It saves souls from a place that God has created, but not created for you, but created for the devil and all his demons. Romans 6 and 23 says this, for the wages of sin is death. The wages, the way that you go, the way that you go against is sin. But the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. It offers hope to lost sinners. It brings about the new birth when it is received. It makes all things new in believers. Old things have passed away, and behold, all things have become what? New. I always like to add that word, brand new. And it's something about having something brand new. I love to have brand new things. Not too much of things that I like to have used. I like to have brand new things. You like to have brand new things. Jesus brings brand new things to you and I because old things have passed away. You're no longer in the past. See, the devil likes to keep you in your past. He wants you to live in your past. But when you came on to accept Jesus, old things have passed away, and behold, all things have become new. It makes all things new in believers. 2 Corinthians 5 and 17. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away, and behold, all things have become new. It succeeds when human wisdom fails. It succeeds. It moves when human wisdom fails. 1 Corinthians 1 and 18. For the message of the cross, listen now, watch this. 1 Corinthians 1 and 18. For the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing. Those that are going by their own ways of sin, by doing their own thing, being who they want to be, saying what they want to say, go where they want to go, do what they want to do. It's foolishness to them because they're not being saved. God saves you from your sins, not in your sins. We are in the world, but we're not of the world. Listen. The gospel is the dynamite of God. When I shared with you today the title of my message, it's dynamite, that means it's God's word. That is dynamite. That is explosive. There is an explosion that goes on when you open up God's Word. When you read God's Word. When you literally take time to slow down enough. Have you ever heard the old saying, let's slow down enough to smell the roses? Slow down enough to have quiet time with the Lord. To read, it becomes dynamite. It is dynamite of God, changing lives and bringing eternal life. Third, my point is, Paul was astonished at the availability of the gospel. God wants your availability, not so much your ability. He wants to know if you're available. Are you available? Are you there to be used by the Lord? Paul was astonished at the availability of the gospel. In other words, God opened up a door and showed him something different that he had never seen in his life. He didn't know anything about this. He didn't know about this Jesus. He didn't know about this God. And guess what? The light switch flipped. And God began to give him dynamite. God's word. Begin to give him dynamite. Listen. Paul was a Jew and had thought that salvation must be for Jews only. But it wasn't. Jesus let him know it's not just for you, Paul. It's not just for you. It's just not for a certain group of people. It's for everybody. It's for everybody to be saved. To be saved. Listen, he had been proud of his heritage, as we see that in Philippians 3 and 1. He had been a persecutor of Christians, Acts 9, 1 through 9. You can write these down now. He's proud of his heritage, which is Philippians 3, 1 through 14. He had been a persecutor of Christians, which was Acts 9, 1 through 9. This is something for you to read, for you to look at later on. He considered himself the chief of sinners. He considered himself the chief of sinners. He had done, he said, I'm worse than anybody else ever. And never hoped to be. I was the worst. 1 Timothy 1 and 15. This is a faith saying and worthy of all acceptance that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners of whom I am chief. He is chief of all sins. But he came to save him. He came and saved him. He saved him. He delivered him. He healed him. And he put him on a road of not destruction, but he put him on a road of prosperity. He put him on a road that he would accomplish great and mighty things. Why? Because he accepted the gospel. The gospel changed his life. There was I use that science word, a metamorphosis. Metamorphosis is a change. It's an occurring that takes place. A worm doesn't stay in a worm. It goes into a cocoon. And once it's weaved and goes into a cocoon, eventually it comes forth as a beautiful butterfly. There is a change that takes place in our lives. You're not to stay where you're at. God has, let me say this today, God has not designed you to stay where you're at, to be locked in to where you're at, with all of your concerns, of all your situations, of everything. God has not locked you into that. God wants to free you. God wants to free you of your addictions. God wants to free you of all the things that you and I deal with. Why? He wants to set you free. Whom the Son sets free is free indeed. God doesn't want you to be the slave to sin. He wants to break the chains that's got you wrapped and bound. He wants to break the chains and set you free. Because it's never designed to be locked down and wallow in all your mire of everything that you deal with. God wants to set you free. And the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ sets us free. Coming into my closing. Still, Paul discovered that the gospel message could save him. And now he knew that the gospel was for all people. It was for the Jews. It was for the Gentiles. It was for the rich. It was for the poor. Paul said this in Romans 10 and 9, that if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confessed is made unto salvation. For the Scripture, here we go again, he refers back to God's Word. He says, the Scriptures, the Holy Word, says, whoever believes on him will not be put to shame. For there is no distinction between Jew or Greek, for the same Lord over all is rich to all who call upon him. For whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Period. It doesn't matter when you call upon the name of the Lord. The Lord says, you shall be saved. The down and the out, the up and the out. Hebrews 7 and 25 says this in my closing, therefore, he is also able to save to the utmost those who come to God through him, since he always lives to make intercession for them. Jesus is forever making interceding for you. He is interceding. It's intercession that takes place. Did you know that? Jesus is going before the Father in your behalf. Listen to me today. You're not just praying to God. You're praying to the Lord Jesus Christ. And Jesus is taking that prayer that you're praying before God. And the Bible clearly says that Satan has the authority to go in and out of heaven, and he's going there saying, oh, look at what she did today. She messed up today. You're going to save her? Oh, look what he did today. Oh, he messed up. Are you going to really save him? Oh, yeah, but look what she said. Look what he did. And the Bible says that Satan is going in and out of heaven. He is the accuser of the brethren. He's constantly trying to put you down before the Lord Jesus Christ. But what does God say? God says, I see what they're doing. I see what's going on. But I sent my son, Jesus Christ. And he died on a cross. And I gave my one and only son. And I nailed him, had him nailed to the tree. And he paid the ultimate price that those on earth that you're talking about and those that you're blaming and those that you're trying to say to me, he says, I've saved them because of his son. Because of my son, my one and only son that I sent has paid the price for their sins. Listen, Paul was thrilled with the whoever of the gospel invitation. To whoever. Listen, a call to those who need to respond to the gospel. There is a call to those who need to respond to the gospel. A call to those who have been ashamed of the gospel. And a call to believers to share the gospel. I want you to get this today. A call to those who need to respond to the gospel. There's a call to those who need to respond to the gospel. There are people that still hasn't responded to the gospel. But guess what? You're the salt and light. You are the one, you are a missionary, you're an ambassador, you represent the Lord Jesus Christ. A call to those who have been ashamed of the gospel. Listen, come on back. Listen, if you've been ashamed of the gospel, come on back. Peter was called out. A woman saw him hanging around with Jesus. And Peter said, no, that wasn't me. That ain't me. Oh, yeah, it was. He said, no, that ain't me. I wasn't hanging around. Oh, yeah, you were. I saw you. See, God doesn't want us to be ashamed, but he wants us to share. A call to all believers to share the gospel. You say, well, Pastor, I'm not a preacher. You're a preacher. That's what you're to do. We call you and you go share the gospel. Oh, Pastor, that's what you do. That's not what we do. No, Now, the Bible says that God has called pastors. He's called teachers. He's called evangelists. As we see the fivefold ministries, but here's where the clincher is. When you accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, he now has called you to witness. You and I are a witness because you've accepted Jesus. Oh, but that's not fun, Pastor. People look at me like I'm crazy. People look at me like I just stepped off a cliff. Listen, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. You're still to do what you need to do for the Lord Jesus Christ because he has called you and I to be a witness of the Lord Jesus Christ. And if he's called us, then guess what? He is going to equip us. And he's going to give you exactly what you need, not so much of what you want. Stand with me across the building today. God loves each and every one. He doesn't want us to perish, but he wants us to have everlasting life. And not only does he want us to have everlasting life, he wants our families to have everlasting life. And you and I have family and friends that don't know the Lord Jesus Christ. They haven't made that profession of faith. But you know what? It's time for us to continue to pray for our families and pray for our friends that they not miss heaven. There's nothing in this world to miss. I don't want to miss heaven for this world. I want to make sure that I'm passing through and I may enjoy life as God will give me the enjoyment of whatever that is, but I definitely want to make sure that I'm right and that I'm ready when I leave this life. Because tomorrow's not promised. And you've heard me say it, and I will say it again. I have preached on Sunday, and I've got a phone call on Monday that somebody has just passed away. We don't know. We don't know. But one thing we do know is that the Lord is on your side. The Lord is on your side, and He will fight your battles because it's not your battle. David gave it to the Lord. He said, "The battle is not mine. The battle is yours." And that's what we have to look at, is He is the one that will fight the battle for your life. And after everything is said and done, and when that storm has passed in your life, because there'll be storms that will come, clouds will come and clouds will pass. But when the cloud passes and when the storm passes, you can look up to your God, to the Lord Jesus Christ, and you can say, "Thank you, Lord. You were there in the eye of the storm. You were there in the cloud. The cloud is gone, and now I see the sunshine, but I'm going to give you praise in the storm. I'm going to give you praise in the clouds. I'm going to give you praise in the valley, because, Lord, I know in the valley you're going to restore my soul. I know in the valley, Lord, you're going to bring things to me like I've never seen before. And through the valley, Lord, you're going to restore my soul, and you're going to pull me through of the things that I'm going through in life." God said He'll put no more on you than you can bear. He said, "Well, Pastor, how much more can I bear?" The Lord says, "I'll put no more on you can bear, but I'll make a way of an escape." He knows exactly how much to put on us. But guess what? Praise be to the Lamb of God. He will take care of you and I, because He will look out for His dear children. Every head bowed and every eye closed, let me pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, we thank You, Lord, for this time.